Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Tarou Clavel is here. Tarou is a global education expert. She is the author of World Class, A Mother's Journey Halfway Around the Globe in Search of the Best Education for Her Children. She's a columnist and an expert in the differences in the kinds of education people are getting in different parts of the world. And she's here to talk to us about where America stacks up. So buckle up, folks. This might be a bumpy ride. Tarou Clavel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
It's great to have you here. Congratulations on your book, and thank you for the work that you've done highlighting what's going on out there in the classroom. What do you see when you look across the globe and you see children being educated? How do you, if you had to just make an overview of that situation, what would you say?
I'd say in the U.S., our biggest problems on a more macro level are our equity and our teachers. We don't equitably educate our children. So if you live in an area that is more privileged, you know, with higher real estate taxes, your children at the local district school are going to get usually a better quality, accessible education than those who live in a less privileged area, precisely because of those lower tax dollars. In other nations, for example, in Japan or in Finland, the best school that your children can attend is the one that's closest to your home. So we have this problem with giving all of our children.
So you're saying because a school district is in an area where the tax base is not high, they can't attract the better teachers? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's one of the issues for certain. We don't pay those teachers, but also we don't give them its funding in general. So typically in the U.S., our funding model is 45-45, 10%, meaning 45 from local tax dollars, and then 45% from your state, and then 10%
right.
from the federal government. So if your state isn't subsidizing and taking care of that equity piece, mm-hmm. and not meaning the exact same dollar amount, you know, it's the equity piece, meaning making it fair, then you're going to have really unequal educational experiences for those kids. So that's one big thing. And the teacher aspect also, we don't really invest in this country in recruiting, retaining, and the professional development of our teachers. So, you know, we don't get the best and brightest out of undergrad to become teachers,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of those teachers aren't paid, and then the ones that want to stay don't because, you know, they're attracted to other professions, and we don't give them a career path, right? You can be a fifth grade teacher for 20 years, whereas in other nations, there's a lot of investment in terms of, you know, you may become a classroom teacher and then a subject-specific expert teacher, or you may go into the government in education or become an administrator.
There isn't much change in the hierarchy of teaching, the teaching profession over the last 200 years around here, has there? There's not much going on, much different.
No, that's a very
interesting point. So, you know, you're right about the funding thing, because I've seen some states where when they get into a bind, the state gets into a bind financially, you know, they don't look to infrastructure. They don't look to anything else. They go directly. The first thing that they announce they're going to cut is education. And I always think, my God, what does that say about you? What do you think?
Well, I think that's true. The problem is, you know, we're not a very patient country, right? You're not going to see necessarily the net result of an education for, you know, a three-year-old, maybe not until they're 23 or 53. And to invest in that, you know, we want short-term return on investment. And, you know, even at the federal level, right, their budget cuts on education spending. So you're right about that. Investment in our infrastructure And these kids really, really need it. And you're right. We take away funding from our children, and they can't do anything about it, right? Because they're not voting. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we can necessarily advocate for more education spending.
Is our society
coming upon the adults?
So you're concerned about funding. You're concerned about the teacher equity, the pay, the quality of the teacher, that sort of thing. Is our society also not demanding that? I mean, have we become weak? Are we more indifferent to the outcomes of our children's education? What do you think?
Well, frankly, I have to say, we're living in such a bifurcated, I guess, we're stressed out, right now. Everybody has mm-hmm. their own beliefs and there's, fake news and all this other stuff right now. And, I interviewed hundreds of people from my book, World Class, and even speaking to school boards, you think that they're concerned about what's going on in the classroom? They are dealing with, investing in teacher pensions, running their own police department,
right.
Providing housing,
and feeding children, having
schools.
To feed children who don't get enough food at home.
Feeding, exactly. Exactly. So when we talk about what's going on in the classrooms, it's almost as if teaching the kids is their lowest priority,
yeah.
Which is crazy, right?
And which is really, really bad because, when I was a kid all those many years ago, the teachers taught. They didn't feed us, they taught. That was pretty much what their job was. And they didn't have to raise us either. That's the other thing I wonder about. These days, I joke a little bit, Taru, that when I hire young people, sometimes I can't just employ them. I have to raise them. What do you think?
I mean, it's definitely a generational complaint that we have. And I don't want to point fingers, but this is what I often think. So people say the millennials, right? I'm going to explain this, but, they can't work as a group. They don't work hard. They're addicted to technology. And it goes on and on. But my response to that is we educated them that way.
Right.
We put so much technology in the classrooms. And we
allowed technology
to
become their babysitter, didn't we?
Absolutely. And, this whole idea of individualized student-centered instruction where the kids are supposed to direct their own educational experiences. Well, guess what?
Right.
What do you think they're going to end up like in the real world when the world doesn't cater to them? I heard a story yesterday.
Hold on to that thought. Taru, hold on to that thought.
I'm
going to ask you a real quick question. I want a quick answer. If you could raise pay significantly for teachers and abolish the teachers' union, would you do it?
State dependent, but probably yes.
Okay. That's a good quick answer. Hold on to the thought. Quick break right after the break. Right back with Taru Clavel. We're going to talk about how America, the U.S., stacks up globally. World Class is the book by Taru.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.